So anyway, this morning, I want to go through two different, this is called a topical textual sermon. And what it really refers to is a pastor takes a topic, like Mother's Day, and then attaches text to it. It should be preached sparingly. Generally, you like to stay within one book, but there is some value to it. I oftentimes, it's been a while since I preached a Mother's Day, and of course, I'll preach a Father's Day sermon coming up next month. Mother's Day is a mixed bag. Sometimes, like in Audrey's case, her mother passed away last year, and sometimes it's a difficult thing, but I felt it's been a while, and I wanted to kind of honor the mothers this morning. So these books that we're looking at this morning come from the wisdom literature. And the wisdom literature encompasses Job, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, the Song of Songs, and the Psalms. And very fascinating. One of the great things about the Psalms is they're so vast, and they're so deep, and they're so rich that we would benefit from reading the Psalms probably daily. Just take one chapter. Psalm 1 is still my favorite, and some say that Psalm 2 is actually Psalm 1 because of the way it ends, but they're very fascinating, very rich. Just a quick, brief overview here. The Psalms are broken down into five books. Psalms 1 to 41 is book 1. Psalm 42 to 72 is book 2. Book 3 is 73 to 89. And then you have 90 to 106 is book 4. And each one of these books has a specific goal. And the one that we'll be dealing with today is book 5, which is quite fascinating in and of itself. The Proverbs, which we'll get into, and I'm not going to stop to make a separate introduction, the Proverbs really focus on wisdom. That's the key focus of Proverbs, and how to avoid the pitfalls of life. So the Proverbs really give some practical wisdom in how we live our lives. And the purpose of Proverbs, I wrote down three of them. One is wisdom and discipleship. A second one is understanding insight. And then the third was living a simple life. And so as we launch into this morning, particularly with the book of Psalm first, 139, 13, and 14, David, this is a very personal Psalm, 139. David's exposing what he knows about God, and it's quite rich, and his own relationship to God is brought out in these verses. Now, as we look at this morning, first of all, God chose mothers, and we will begin with pregnancy. Now, listen to what David writes. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." Kana is the word for formed, which means to create. Quite fascinating that God chose women to be mothers. And going against the popular culture, only women can become pregnant. Let me just say that. Here we have the fetal from the fertilization of the egg all the way around. The world would have us believe that all of this started with a big bang, that this one molecule exploded and you have all of these, the mountains, the seas, the skies, the solar system, the universe, all of this happened from one molecule. Even the miracle of birth. Let me say this. I do not have enough faith to believe that. God was the one that created this world. He was the one. Look, just so intricate how God arranged all of the the pregnancy of a woman. And what's really scary is what is taking place in our culture today as it relates to abortion. Very sad what is taking place in our culture. But let me say this. God formed King David, and he said, I know this, my inward parts, kilia. And that really refers to two things. One, it could be referred to the kidneys in which animal sacrifices were offered with those kidneys in the nation of Israel. But more than likely, it's the heart, the mind, and the soul. So when God was creating in the mother's womb, which God gave, this wonderful, magnificent little child, God had a plan for that child. David knew that. He said, God, you formed my inward parts, not just my physical body, but my spiritual being. And that is why people today have a need for God. They search for God in all kinds of places, or don't search at all. And so what's missing in their life is a relationship with God, because God created them in his image, in the Imago Dei. Now, Genesis 1:27 and 1:28 would be a good place to bring this in. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. God's design, and I preached a wedding ceremony yesterday, God's design for marriage is the continuation of humanity. And so you can almost sense David's heart here. God, you know me inside and out. You created me in my mother's womb. You knitted me together. You knitted me together. Sahak. I like that. Sahak. You knitted me together. Listen to what Job says. And I didn't catch this until, and I've probably preached this a few times, but it suddenly. Listen to this. In Job 10:11, you dressed me with skin and flesh. You sewed me together with bones and muscles. David is saying, yeah, you did form my outer parts, and they are wonderful and they are beautiful. But what is more important is what's in here. David says, look, God, you created all of this. You created me. The outside is a covering. The inside is what God is concerned about. And yet, man just casually, I don't know how man can just, it blows my mind, how they can look at everything that was created, everything that God did, and say it was just an accident. I mean, if you look at beyond the birth, you look at how different animals perform different functions. It screams God. And David says, look, God, I know you. You formed my inner parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. And the most important thing for David is his relationship with God. That was primal. That was number one. Alan P. Ross, in his commentary, writes this. The parallel colon focuses on the physical body. The verb to weave together, to knit, is figurative, picturing the formation of the body as weaving of a beautiful tapestry. The body is truly a work of art, and God is the orchestrator of that. I want us to think about mothers for a minute, just right here, and how special and unique women are. That God chose you to carry a new life that God created. And Jesus was born of a virgin. And so this was just magnificent when you think about it. Women, you should be honored and praised. And think about your position with God and how much he loved you. And I know at the times when Audrey was in pregnancy, it is difficult and it is tough. But I will tell you, from that comes a blessing. And from that comes a wonderful blessing of children. So when we think about moms this morning, what I think about, or what I thought about this week as I was writing this, I thought about how wonderful God felt towards women that he would bless them with the ability to bring forth more human beings in this world. God chose mothers. And notice, King David breaks out in kind of a doxology of praise here, if you will. His response is very telling. And David has, he knows what he knows. He knows that God was his creator. Notice he says, I praise you. That's a hiphil verb, yada. One of my favorite words in the Hebrew language. Yada, it's a hiphil verb. And it means to throw or to cast. And so what David is doing here is he is praising God. He is throwing his voice. This isn't something, oh, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I praise you, Yahweh, Lord of creation. That takes it to a whole different level when we read this. I praise you. David is throwing his voice towards his creator. He's fearfully, Yahweh. He chose these words very carefully. Yada and Yahweh. It is also this is a Nephal verb, and it means awe and reverence. David has now started a worship service. He has now started a worship service. He is acknowledging, and some wrongfully take this to mean fear and trembling, like he's scared. No. Nothing could be further from the truth. David is praising God, and it's like he says, after I knew that you created and knitted me in my mother's womb, I know that you're my Savior, and I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to make it vocal. Quite amazing. Quite amazing. Then he says, wonderful, and let me do this. I mean, again, we go back to this idea of the Big Bang and the secularists and the philosophers. They just say it all was random. Look at the complexity of what God created. Look at the complexity of what God created. And he chose moms. Ladies, you're very special. You are very special, and you have a great place in God's heart. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Here's the issue. This is the key for King David. Nephesh, the soul, the heart, the essence of life, thought, feelings, emotions. Everything within David is screaming out at this point. He says, my soul knows that you live and that you created. My soul knows that. And so when we read this, don't casually read it. Read it as if David is pouring everything he has out at God, saying, wonderful are your works. I can't stop praising him. I can't stop thanking him for what he has done for me in my life. And he says, my soul knows it very well. I default to Paul. I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he will keep that which he committed unto that day. Think about how much God loves women. Think about how much God loves men. Think about how much God loves the world. That he would let his son leave and come down to be born of a virgin and then live a sinless life, take that sinless life, put it on the cross to pay for your sin and mine. Think about how much God loves you. Roger Ellsworth, in his commentary, he writes this, David would have us know that he's not just getting carried away. I love this. With his own writing, he's not just indulging in poetic license. He says it with deep conviction of his soul that all God's works are marvelous. Ladies, you are marvelous in the sight of God today. And how special it is. In a sense, to be anointed to be the one to carry human life created by God. Now, it's such, you look at David here, 13 and 14, and he's just so emotional. And it's one thing to just read the text, but when I went back and I read it in the original language, every one of them, by the way, was said with some type of emotion, some type of feeling. And so David is really, in his soul, he knows. He's in a relationship with God. David had his problems, no doubt. But he had a close relationship with God, and this was his way of exposing that. Take some time today, and there is no Sunday school after this. Take some time today to praise God. Praise God for your blessings. Praise God for your mothers. Praise God for family members. Praise Him. And that leads me into the second point this morning. Oh, wait a minute. I wanted to say one more thing. This is awesome. This is awesome. I still think one of the greatest miracles, other than salvation, is how God uses women to continue the human race. It is a beautiful thing. And every time I see a pregnant woman, I think of God's miraculous acts inside the woman to make that take place. All right. While we're praising God, let's go ahead and talk about these mothers that God chose. They care for us. They care for us. Now, this is in Proverbs 31:26, which we've already talked about the Proverbs, the importance, basically to avoid the pitfalls and to live a life that is pleasing to God. Now, notice in the Proverbs, she opens her mouth with wisdom. Chokmah, wisdom. And this word can mean three different things. It can mean skill in war. It can mean skill to do a craft. But I think this third one probably fits the context. The capacity to understand and so have skill in living, implying adherence to a set of standards. So one of the most critical things of godly mothers is when they are teaching their children, and when they are teaching them the ways of God and how to live for Him in this world. The mother skill in talking to her child is very important. Years ago when I was 16, I remember I was driving, and I had my restricted license. I don't know what the age is today, but back then it was 16 years old. And I was driving, and my mom was in the seat next to me. And I passed a police car that was parked. I'll never forget it. And I looked over my shoulder to see. And my mom said something that was very profound. She said, "A person of integrity never has to look over his shoulder." I was wondering if I was speeding. That stuck with me even to this day. I'm 65 now, and I was 16 years old, and I still remember that. And that stuck with me throughout my life. Listen, mothers, you have a huge job. Grandparents, you have a huge job and a wonderful job. Not only do you get to carry life, but you also get to nurture it, you get to teach it, you get to love it, you get to do all of that. Men can't do that. I mean, they can definitely train their kids and they can do certain things, but men cannot give birth, and they cannot replace a mother's love. It's hard to do. I remember years ago in the 60s, there was a show called The Courtship of Eddie's Father. He was a single parent raising his son. There's something unique about a mother's love. There's something unique about it. Quite amazing. And talk about this wisdom here. It's moms have a lot to teach their children that this is how you live for God and this is how you don't live for God. And that happens with grandparents too. Grandparents, you have a good opportunity with your grandkids to teach them what it looks like to follow Jesus and what it doesn't look like to follow Jesus. Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teachings. You know, I was basically raised, raised in a very dysfunctional family. We also were not made to go to church. So you could say it this way, I had the deck stacked against me as far as ever coming to Christ, except I had two godly grandmothers who prayed, interjected things. I want to talk about lost mothers and saved mothers. Lost mothers are lost. They don't know Christ, and it's a different environment. You may get a nugget here or there, but they're lost, and they don't understand the ways of God and how awesome it is when you're a born-again believer and you have children and you teach those children right from wrong in God's eyes. What a great responsibility and awesome job that is that you have as mothers. I wish every mother was saved. Sadly, that is not the case. But I do praise God for the saved mothers that are here today. And I look around here and I see a lot of godly mothers that love their kids. And unsaved mothers can love their children, but not like saved mothers. There's a big difference, I think. And the missing factor is right behind me, the cross. So when we think about this, kids, don't forsake your mother's teachings. Don't forsake your father's instructions. Make sure that you live according to them because they love you. They love you a lot. And same with grandparents. Grandparents and grandmothers. I'm very grateful to my grandmother Porter and Fraser who taught me about Jesus even when my mom did not. And of course, I could launch into a psychological evaluation of my life. I'm not going to do that. My home life was dysfunctional. I saw things that I shouldn't have seen. But I will say this. My grandparents, particularly my grandmother Porter and Fraser, showed me what it looked like to follow Jesus. Even though at the time, I just thought they were old and didn't know anything. But when I got saved, I went back to that and I go, ah. My grandmother Fraser said she prayed for my salvation. In my mother's womb. And I realize how significant that moment was. And just thinking about that brings up, I've got a Bible from my grandmother Fraser up there, and I just want to say this. Even if the mother is not living for Christ, grandparents, you have a huge opportunity. But I'm very thankful for the mothers that we have here today. What she does, and the teaching, and this is key here, I think. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This was an interesting word. It kind of shocked me. This word teach is, you ready for this? Torah. You know what that is? That's the word for law. And if you read it this way, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. One thing that's vital, moms, read the Bibles to your kids. And let me say this, you can do everything right and you can teach that child and they go amiss. But at the same time, if they see that it's important to you And so take time to read the Bible to your kids and to your grandkids. The written code. Mostly it has seven different meanings, but basically refers to the law. Dwayne Garrett, in his commentary, wrote this. She is a capable teacher, well acquainted with wisdom, verse 26. Her children are perhaps her primary pupils, but the text is not specific here, which when the text is not specific, it can be stretched. One cannot exclude the possibility that also sets her husband right from time to time. Yeah, there's been times that I was going to do something and Audrey goes, no. And most of the time, well, a lot of the time, all the time, I know she's in there listening. All the time, she's been right. Sometimes, men, you need to listen to your wives. It's a good thing to listen to your wife. Very, very important. And you know, this word kindness is the word for hesed. That hesed love was part of the covenant that God made with the nation of Israel. Did you know that God uses a mother's love to reveal his love? It does. Isaiah 66, verse 13. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, Israel. So this idea that being a mother is just this over here, it's much bigger than that. God says, look, as a mother loves her child, that's how I'm going to love you. So when you have a Christian mother that loves her kids, you can look at it and say, well, that's how God is loving me. You got a good picture of a mother holding her child, loving her child, and that's exactly the kind of love that God will have for you. Amazing. A mother's love is similar to the love of God. And that's what she does. She teaches. She's kind. She has an unfailing love. By the way, that word hesed is unfailing love. And there are so many times when a mother will have sleepless nights because she loves her children. And you all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the love that you have for your kids. Some of you, as I've 16 years now, going on 17 years here, I've seen a lot of mothers love their kids in a way that the world cannot possibly love. And your grandkids, and how you love them and how you care for them. It's wonderful. Now, our response, notice King David, we started in Psalm 139, 13 and 14. King David said, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. That was David's response, or our response to God's creative act. Now, in Proverbs 31, 31 is our response to our wives and to the mothers. Give her the fruit of her hands. Give her the fruit of her hands. That's a metaphor in the Hebrew language. That is a metaphor for saying, praise your mothers. Praise your wives. Tell them daily how much they mean to you, what they do for you, and they do quite a bit. And it says it, give her the fruit of her hands. Praise them. Tell them everything that they do for you, how much they mean to you, all the things that they do, little things. I mean, it could be little things. Take time praising your wife. Take time praising your mother or your grandmother. Take time. Give her the fruit of her hands. And I like what Warren Wiersbe said in his commentary. He wrote this, what a need there is today for husbands and children to show constantly their appreciation that the wife and mother does in the home. One of the greatest weaknesses of many homes today is that family members take advantage and others in the family for granted. That's right. That's right. Families in our culture today, by and large, are dysfunctional. And by dysfunctional, I mean godless. I could go into this, but you know what I mean by this. The reshaping of what the family, the nuclear family is. The scripture talks about the nuclear family being one man and one woman. And so it is imperative for the Christian church to begin modeling that for a culture. And one way that we do it is when we're out there, we praise our wives and mothers, and we lift them up, if you will, and say, look, you're doing such a wonderful job. Thank you for everything that you do. And even the little things in life, praise them. Notice the next line. And let her works praise her in the gates. What's that about? This was a gate in ancient Israel. This was a place where people met. And so what the writer here is saying is, praise her in public. Praise her in public. Let people know how much she means to you. That's outside the church. Listen, if the world sees the church functioning in the family nucleus, they will begin questioning their own lives. And so I think it's very, very, very important. Men, today, honor your wife, honor your mother, take them out to dinner. If I could make it a command, I would, but can't do that. Spend time with them today. Love them. Tell them. Sit down. Talk with them and say, this is what you mean to me and how wonderful you are. And out of God's, think about this. God created everything, the stars, the solar system, the earth, everything in it. And he chose moms. He chose women with the special task. And so we praise them today. Make it known publicly how wonderful she is to you. Let me say this. Mothers are important. Giving birth is a miracle of God that God works in the womb of the woman. And it is, in a generic sense, the survival of species. Moms can keep the family together. They are the hub. I know the man is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, and I said that yesterday. But moms keep the family together. Keep teaching your kids. Help your husband. One of the things that surfaced yesterday was I talked about the rib, that the woman was created out of the rib, and I told the people there, well, the rib is on the side, and so the woman is to be by the side of the husband. That was part of the taking of the rib, was that she would be side by side by her husband, and together they glorify God, and they also have children, and they teach their children to be obedient to Christ. Praise and honor your wife and mother today. Praise them. Thank them. Just take 5 minutes. Look her in the eye. Kids, you do the same thing. Look at your mother in the eye and tell her how wonderful she is. And she is. She is wonderful. Let me say this, kids. Look up here. All you kids, look up here. If you have a saved mother, where's some other kids? We got some back there, right over here. If you have a saved mother, you need to praise her today. Take 5 minutes, get off your iPads and your whatever it is you're on, and look at your mom and tell them how much they mean to you. Or your grandparents, tell them how much they mean to you, your grandmother. Talk to them. Say, look, thank you. And give them praise today. I think it's really, really important.